Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It was a defensive clinic. Manny has never hustled more than he did tonight. The Padres played near flawless baseball in a 9-2 loss to the Phillies, their fourth consecutive loss. They are now out of a playoff spot. Again, we're not even at the halfway point, but the Padres lose again. Eighth consecutive road loss. We're with you on the wrap-up show. John and Jim with you. Padres fall in Philadelphia 9-2, trying to avoid potentially a winless road trip. The next couple of days, they're going to face really good pitching. Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez, we'll see if they can do it or not. So as you make your way in on this Monday night, please subscribe. We have year-round content for Padres fans. So subscribe. We have year-round content. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the super chats. As you know, we get to every single super chat. Great way to support the channel. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to your super chats. If you want to become a member, you can click the join button down below. I mean, the game itself, obviously, Jim, wasn't great. Randy Vasquez, Manny Machado had a couple of hits. Padres defensively were terrific, but unfortunately they trailed by 9 runs. So a 9-2 loss in Philadelphia. And here we are on the wrap-up show. What are you doing?
Can we play the Schilt sound?
Can we? You put it up. Yeah, if we're not going to get like fined, absolutely, please. Start there. I would love to. Where are you going to play? From Instagram? From Fadden?
Yeah,
please. Let's do it.
Yeah, great question. I appreciate it. You know, long-term zero. I have no concern about this club at all. I have complete confidence. You know, this too shall pass. You know, we're in a situation where we just, I mean, today was the first game that's really gotten away from us in almost all season, right?
Oh, really?
Been right there. You know, we're, and I have the privilege of seeing how this club goes about it, how they compete.
Privilege?
Or their preparation, all the things. We're in a stretch now where it's just, we're not getting it done. Now, I don't want to say that there's no level of disappointment or frustration. That's two different buckets, right? Long-term concern, none, zero. I know we're going to end up right where we want to end up, and that is in October. Right now, yeah, we've got it to your point. Starting pitching, we haven't been able to get deep in games. We weren't able to hold them there tonight, today. And, you know, we weren't able to put together some as consistent at bats. But, you know, one of that optimistic point of view is a couple of things. Look at the defense we played today. Defense we played over the last three games in New York. I mean, today was, you know, almost a virtual highlight reel.
virtual highlight reel.
Crony making plays, even, you know, DP in the ninth inning. When I see guys laying hard out there, regardless of circumstances, says a lot about the club. We're going to have moments like this. You just are. Again, don't love them. Got to spin out of it. Got to figure it out. I get all that. Good news is, this group and I have that experience, and we'll figure it out. We're playing a good club, and we've got to be a little better consistently. In some cases, a lot better consistently. The other thing that was really encouraging tonight, that's a great example that I don't want it to go unnoticed, was Manny. You know, we talk about effort level and And that's appropriate. You know, we're all under question. But, you know, I've taken the stance as far as this is a guy that's shown up with an ailment that's real, soft tissue, you know, situation that, you know, he's trying to monitor, and has gone out there and played. Today, you know, yesterday I talked to him after we got in here at the hotel. Like, how did you feel? Actually, I talked to him after we both got ejected. So that was a little time for some bonding. He's like, man, it's the best I've felt. I feel like me again. And then we went and saw two great examples. One, you know, it's a ball through the middle. Turner can't get to. Busted out of the box. He's in a position to be in a position to go to second. Hustles in a second. Sets us up for a run. And then the last at bat. You know, again, 9-2 game. Turner makes a great play on him. Really nice play. Nice swing. And he's getting down the line, giving the kind of effort we want. So
we got doubled up.
You know, those are all positive things that I want to make sure we point out.
I don't even have anything to say. You start, and I'll react because I have nothing to say. I mean that's crazy talk. That's utter crazy talk.
I think Mike Schilt's a nice guy. He's gonna not last long here. I just don't see it. I don't see him lasting longer than, frankly, this season. I mean, they make the postseason. You have him return next year, but after that, I mean, even if they do make, I mean, I just, what is he?
He's what is he talking about?
What the fuck's he talking about? Exactly.
What are you talking, dude? He basically, and we were talking to Darnay about this earlier. He basically called out Manny Machado for not hustling by saying, hey, here's an example of him actually hustling because I know that people get on him for not hustling. Like, that's what he did, yeah. Which is not a good thing to say. He kind of backhandedly threw Manny under the bus. Like, I hate to, out of all that fluff and kindergarten talk, what he actually did in there, if you go back and dissect it, we could listen to it again. He threw Manny under the bus for not hustling is what he did because he called out an example of him hustling, which is something we've been talking about, which was basically saying he hasn't been hustling. That's what he did.
That was a 3.5 minute answer to a question from, I don't remember who, of how concerned are you about this 4-game losing streak and where you're at right now? And he went into a 3.5 minute, like, soliloquy or whatever you want to call it of, you know, just fluff and bullshit. And by the way, this was a 10-minute press conference. This wasn't just the start.
That's the only thing I've seen was what Fadden put up. I missed. I would love to. I could have watched the whole thing. You're saying that was on MLB.TV or Padres.TV?
No. Well, luckily I stayed after the show and I saved the entire press conference. So we'll have that for you tomorrow on John and Jim, and you can listen to it then. But like, that was the start of the press conference to a question about what's your concern level right now. And look, I'll play devil's advocate. I think Mike Schilt said the right thing as far as long-term goes. Like, hey, because if Mike Schilt went on post-game today, or any manager post-game goes, yeah, long-term, I'm very concerned. We're probably not going to make the postseason. Out. You're done. Lost everybody. You're out. Just might as well just pack your bags and fire yourself. So, of course, you got to say, yeah, long-term, I'm not concerned. We're in a rut right now. We need to get out of this rut. We're not playing good baseball, but, you know, over the long haul, I feel confident about these guys, and I feel confident that we're going to get out of it. And you just end it. Like, just end it there, bro. Just end it there. But for you to go on this, like, 3.5 minute, like, opening statement about how you guys played flawless defense tonight, and then out of nowhere, you're basically applauding Manny's hustle. I mean, think about that. In a 9-2 loss, the manager, unprovoked, no questions about it. Well, I think Dennis did ask a question about Manny later on, which is also very fascinating because he admitted that Manny doesn't hustle all the time, and then he picks and chooses his spots and praised that from Manny.
And then are you saying what we just heard, or there's something else?
No, there's something else. Dennis asked him a question about Manny.
There's something else?
Yeah, there's more. Oh, there's more. There's more than that. There's more.
Wait, can you pull up the Fadden thing again?
I just turned it off.
I want to play the final minute again on Manny, because if you really keenly listen to this, he's giving you some truthisms in there, which is basically that they've got some issues with Manny not hustling.
Well, no, I figured the question was from Dennis, but it was along the like, hey, how do you manage or how do you go about with Manny and his effort level on a day-to-day basis? Do you expect Manny to give you this effort level that he did tonight every game? I think that was the question. Because since Schulte said tonight's effort level and him hustling was like the best he's ever seen from any baseball player in the history of the sport tonight. And then I kind of forget what he exactly said, but it was kind of along just expanding on what he says here about Manny. With along the lines of like, you know, every player in the game picks and chooses their spots. No one hustles 100% of the time. And
he said that.
Yeah. He's like, everybody.
Apologize. See, I could tell that in his first answer there, though, when he talked for a minute about Manny, he was like starstruck by having a conversation with him after they were both ejected. Like, oh, we bonded. It was so cute. Like, it's June 17th. You've been around this guy since like February 1st. You've traveled to Korea. You're halfway through the season and you're bonding on June 17th in the clubhouse.
Another interesting point that was pointed out to me by Darren was, and this is Darren, so it's not me. Why are you lying about where you talked to Manny? Or like,
I thought he corrected himself though, didn't he? He kind of corrected himself.
Yeah,
but he's like,
yeah, we talked to the hotel. I'm just kidding. We talked to the clubhouse.
Well, no, like, I thought he corrected himself. Play it back. It sounds like, why would he didn't have to do that, didn't he? He corrected himself.
Again, why are we trying to, anyway, it's not the point. It's just the small thing. Okay, here we go.
Play this again. Not the whole thing. From Manny. Can we go halfway into it?
A lot of different things we were able to do. Crony, the club. We're going to have moments. I get all that. We'll figure it out. We're playing a good club, and we've got to be a little better consistently. In some cases, a lot better consistently. The other thing that was really encouraging tonight, that's a great example that I don't want it to go unnoticed, was Manny. You know, we talk about effort level and that's appropriate. You know, we're all under question.
That's appropriate.
But, you know, I've taken the stance as far as this is a guy that's shown up with an ailment that's real, a soft tissue, you know, situation that, you know, he's trying to monitor and has gone out there and played. Today, you know, yesterday I talked to him after we got in here at the hotel. Like, how did you feel? Actually, I talked to him after we both got ejected. So that was a little time for some bonding.
Maybe talk to him both spots.
He's like, man, it's the best I felt. I feel like me again. And then we went and saw two great examples. One, you know, it's a ball through the middle. Turner can't get to. Busted out of the box. He's in a position to be in a position to go to second. Hustles in a second. Sets us up for a run. And then the last at bat. You know, again, 9-2 game. Turner makes a great play on him. Really nice play. Nice swing. And he's getting down the line, giving the kind of effort we want. So, you know, those are all positive things that I want to make sure we point out.
But did we talk about effort level that's appropriate? Isn't that him saying that Manny, he's recognizing what other people are saying, which is Manny doesn't hustle?
This
we
is
talk Schilt. About effort level that's appropriate.
Yeah, this is Schilt addressing and calling out the Manny hustle situation that happened in New York, which again, I don't know who was in New York. Okay. Why didn't anybody on Friday night ask him about Manny Machado? I heard Kevin today on Darren be like, that was a completely overblown situation. And I think anybody that's questioning Manny's hustle is ridiculous. Like, Kevin, bro, stop. That was embarrassing on Friday night. And me and John kind of stood back and we're like, look, we kind of understand, but if he's in the field the next day, then it's fair game. And guess what? He was in the field the next day. Did he just magically heal overnight and be like, fuck, I can run 100% now?
How did he run, like you said, even not just overnight, but even from Friday to today? So he's able to go max effort out of the box today, but Friday couldn't even jog. That's an amazing, what a remarkable healing.
And by the way,
to go from not being able to jog on Friday night to max effort from home to second on that error by whomever, Marsh, in center field, that's incredible.
In the ninth inning, he's applauding Manny's at bat. He grounded into, a double play that ended the game. He leads the league in double plays grounded into this year. I mean, are we watching the same team, Schilt? No, we're not.
It's just the worst spin job ever. This is like
worst.
It's kind of like having a client. Okay, you're a lawyer and you are representing your client who obviously committed the crime, and you're going through the motions and like you're putting your foot down, and then the jury like gives its verdict and the dude's guilty. Like, we went through this whole song and dance, and like, I don't understand the song and dance here. Like, can we just be real and honest and truthful? Are we asking for that much? Let's get to some of the super chats because I'm frustrated. I think a lot of people are frustrated. If you're here, subscribe. And if you're here, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. I mean, there's a million places to go here. JD Gatcher, thank you. Says, sounds like Schilt is mailing it in. No, it sounds like Schilt is doing everything in his power to come up with this amazing defense for this team that is not justified. That's my point. Why are we coming up to this grand defense where if I ask Jay Cronenworth, how are you playing? Be like, we're playing like crap. Like, he's doing this song and dance where if I go in and ask Stephen Kolek, how's the team playing? Be like, well, you know, we've played better, to be honest.
I mean, how
I don't get it.
How fragile is this team's psyche if, as a manager, your entire post games and pre games and anytime you talk to the media has to be positive? I don't know if whenever they play the Cardinals again, we'll get on a someone that covered the Cardinals when he was there. Was he like this in St. Louis, like the ultimate optimist, no matter what? The guy that that fans are saying, bro, you just lost 10-1. Why are we talking about a double play that you guys turned in the third inning as like the greatest defensive double play in the history of the sport?
They had the double play turned on them.
The relay throw.
Oh, that's great, but I'm saying he's crediting Manny Machado for hustling in a double play that
he
I mean, it was a double play to end the game.
And by the way, like, good job, Schilt. You have now put the permanent marker on. You have basically guaranteed that they will make the postseason. You have
said we expect to play October baseball.
Yeah, you have said tonight. Yeah, we'll be in October. We'll be in the playoffs.
Dude, essentially, what other choice does he have? This is another good example of you telling.
I'm fine with it.
Everyone knows what they have to do. They have to get to the postseason. If they don't, Eric Hinsenda said day one heads roll. Yeah. He didn't say heads roll, but people are accountable.
I'm good with it, John. I'm just saying, like, you've kind of made your bed here, and you better make the postseason. Now we all knew but still.
You've made your bed, and the truth is, it's like the easiest bed to make in the history of the world. Man, you guys got to now go. Hey, Mike, you just said we got to make to the postseason. I know, AJ. Can you get us to 80 wins?
Dude, like,
we're not asking them to go 20-2 over the next 22 games so they can get to 99.
I mean, how tone deaf? They got to
win 80 games.
How tone deaf? And how much does this guy just not read the room? Like, does he know that this team had the worst collapse in the history of the franchise last year? Because guess what? He was here. Okay? He was here.
I think the worst collapse is 2021.
Well,
this team was never good last year.
You're right. I would put last year as the most disappointing season in franchise history.
Yeah,
you're
definitely. Right.
The biggest collapse was 2021. The biggest disappointment was 2023. And I just don't get it. I can't get enough of it because it's kind of like insane to hear somebody. It's insanity. You're right, to hear Mike Schilt speak about this team in this light. And I know if they make the postseason, then Schulte can say he was right. But I mean, to get there, you're losing this fan base, bro. This fan base is like looking and hearing you speak and being like, what are you talking about?
Can we all acknowledge
we're not a good team?
We have to get to these supers, and I like can't talk because I'm sick. I think I get sick at night, maybe watching these games. But can we all acknowledge if you tried this line of communication in, let's name the cities,
Philadelphia,
New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and there's a zillion others. And by the way, I don't think it's working in San Diego either.
It's not working
He's trying to pull one over on us, and don't let him do it because it shouldn't work anywhere. And it's not a reflection of the fan base. Every fan is calling him out. And the fan base here is as good as it is in Philadelphia, San Francisco, New York, LA, because we know that as evidenced by how many people, how many butts are in the seats. But like for whatever reason, he thinks he can pull this here, and you can't pull this anywhere. I mean, this maybe you could pull this off in Tampa because nobody cares, or Miami. Oakland. Oakland, you could pull it off. Do whatever the hell you want. So there's two or three examples where you could get away with this. You should not be able to get away with this here, and people should not allow him to do it. Now, I'm not saying people are. I mean, this would be truly – I mean, this would be sports talk fodder in New York. They wouldn't need to do anything else. If the manager of the Yankees was saying this after every single game for a 37 and 39 Yankees team, it's all they would talk about. It's all they would ever talk about. Same thing with the Mets. Same thing in Philadelphia. And it's all we talk about. But – I mean, he should not be getting away with this. This fan base and this city is too good for this line of discussion following Padres games. It's just
It's insanity, dude. It is crazy to listen to this guy talk about this team after a 9-2 loss, four straight in a row, under 500, out of the playoff picture, third in their division now, but yet the first thing you say is, fuck, we put on a defensive clinic tonight. Hey, did you see Manny Hustle?
It's a virtual highlight reel.
Virtual highlight reel. Manny Hustle, give me a break, dude. Give me a break.
That one, Homies Garage, thank you. He says, Mike, press conferences, throw up emoji. If his goal is to take the attention off his team, he's done an amazing job. If he's playing 4D chess, then I give him credit. The issue is I think he's playing checkers. That's the issue. If he's playing 4D chess, then I give him credit. Paul, thank you. He says, should Arias play? Seems like he's still hurt. He should play because he's hitting. I don't know what he did today. Presumably nothing, but he's hit. But I do think he's hurt. I've said that a lot. What did he do today? 0-for-3? He's hitting .322. He's got to play.
Yeah.
John, thank you. He says, I generally want to ask a Cards fan if show was this positive. I remember him being fired up all the time, all for positive vibes, but come on. And we could watch those press conferences on YouTube.
I remember when Schilt was hired, there was a lot of people posting that clip of Schilt in the clubhouse after I think they beat the Dodgers or whoever they beat. And he was just F-bombing, like, fuck that team. We're going to fuck them up. Blah. Like, and I was like, all right, fiery manager. You know, like he has some red ass to him. But this shit is like sugarcoating every single night. I mean, the job of the media is to relay the messages from the team to the fan base. And what happens behind closed doors happens behind closed doors, but also media will find out most of the time, not all the time, of like what is going on, like the vibe and the feel. I haven't seen one thing of Mike Schilt's message that he's relaying to the media and the fans is different than the message that he's giving to the players in the clubhouse. Because what it feels like is this is who he is regardless. And that there's no different message going on here inside the clubhouse to the media and the fan base. It's the through line of he says one thing about his team and the players are saying a completely different thing. And either he's sucking up to all of these players and the general manager and the ownership and whatever for God knows what reason. Okay. Or he's like you said, John, he's lying to everybody and trying to take the focus away from this average to below average team this year and put it on Schilt.
I don't think two things. I think it's a really interesting point. I don't think he's dumb enough to communicate the way he's communicating with the media, the same way with his team. Because what he's doing with the media is so absurd that he couldn't get away with it in a clubhouse.
It's like
players would not accept kindergarten discussion, so to speak. The rah-rah, everyone gets it. I don't think you, here's my example. He didn't go into the clubhouse the 5 minutes before the clubhouse opened to the media and say, we put on a virtual defensive clinic. We play great defensive baseball. We'll get him next time. There's no way. There's no way he said that. And if he did, he's lost the team. Because the team, they're not idiots. There's like this pack mentality. Like, they talk to each other. So you have to communicate effectively. It's the number one job of a manager is communication. There's no way what he's relaying to the media is the exact same thing he's relaying to his team. And if it is, then they got bigger problems than what we're saying right now. What he's trying to do with the media is pull a fast one, is what I think. I think he thinks he's controlling some type of narrative by what he is saying post-game, because he's talking to 1, 2, 3 reporters, you know, especially on the road, and it's not New York City media, and it's not whatever, Philadelphia media, but we see through it, and with social media and with the way these, you know, we interact daily on these topics and on these post-game press conferences, you just can't do this. I think you might be able to get away with this in 1979. Read the quotes in the newspaper, go along with it. Maybe he pulls a fast one on us. You just can't do it in 2024. So like, that's my two cents. You really think, I'm asking, do you really think this is how he's communicating with his team?
I don't, but I also don't think that, like, I don't think he's frankly like having like these team meetings every day, John, where he's talking probably to the whole team at once. You've been in the clubhouse. I've been in the clubhouse. Like, before games, there's really no communication going on between the manager and the whole entire team as a whole.
Correct.
Like the team, like the hitters have hitting like meetings, right? Yeah. And then they go out for BP, and Schilt's just there, and he's talking to some players here and there, right? But there's never really, I mean, like, the team does,
it's
not
more get after games than before.
The team does not get addressed by Mike Schilt.
No, he could go in the clubhouse and relay something. It wouldn't be some rah-rah college football speech. It would typically be, hey, remember the last time we faced Suarez? Attack. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be a very quick just talking point right before a game or in the dugout. Hey, it's Ranger Suarez. Make sure to swing early. I'm making it up.
Yeah, but there's so, not
like
yeah.
that type of thing. But no, there's no rah-rah speech. When he does, he's admitted himself, he doesn't spend a lot of time in the clubhouse, which is very reasonable. There's a lot of managers that don't spend a lot of time in clubhouses. When you would address the team as a whole would be oftentimes post-game, very briefly, unless there's some type of meeting or some reason to do it. But you're right. It's more individual. It's more quick hitting. It's more in a dugout. It's more relaying messaging.
This is not like football after every game. They're like, bring it in, fellas. It's not like basketball, where, you know, you have 12 guys, 15 guys, and you address them all, right, after every game. Like, hey, we need to be better, blah, 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 whatever. He just comes off as very disingenuous. He comes off as a tryhard. He comes off as a suck-up. He comes off as a guy that is, you know, never going to relay the truth. Like, I mean, there's plenty of things I could say about Mike Schilt as a manager and how he's portraying himself in these post-game press conferences. And frankly, none of them are really good, in my opinion.
The post-game press conferences, I agree. I think you can't be worse. I think in-game and actually as a manager, what's taking away from his in-game for me is actually how he addresses the media and what he's saying. But I have no issues with this in-game managing. I think he's fine. I think he's really better than fine. I think he's actually good. I mean, I've said that a lot, and I almost feel weird saying it because it's so ridiculous listening to him post-game, because I don't think that's good at all, but I have to separate the two. I think he's beyond fine. I think you could argue he's a good in-game manager. I think he's a smart enough baseball person, but when it comes to interacting with the media, it's almost an embarrassment.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you think Mike Schilt is a good leader of men?
I don't know. I mean, if I knew the answer to that, I would answer. I have no freaking clue. I've never been around him in any capacity. I see how he interacts with the media. I have no idea. I mean, my gut would say there's probably better. He doesn't scream, you know, Here's what he screams. I'm going to do everything in my power to avoid the complete rip apart of the 2023 Padres clubhouse and culture in 2024. I'll do everything. I'll lie down in front of a bus, so to speak. Not really. To make sure that the thing doesn't fracture. I will take it all on. I'm going to spin this positive message because 2023, he knows more than we do. He knows it went sideways for reasons like what transpired in the clubhouse. He's had those conversations with the front office and he's doing everything in his power to appear as if, even though everything's on fire, everything's fine. That's what I think he's doing.
By the way, this team at this point right now has the exact same record as last year's team.
And the 2019 Washington Nationals that won the World Series. We're going to get back to it in a moment. We do need to thank our title sponsor on the wrap-up show, Mark Nimitz.
Turning point? Been,
what's that?
Turning point?
Yeah, I guess for the Nationals it was. Nationals were 19-31 at one point. Listen, we've been talking to Mark throughout the course of the day. He's back from his Hawaiian vacation. He's upset like we all are about this play of the Padres, but here's the thing. If you have any insurance need, he's going to take care of you. He's going to hook you up. He's going to save you money. And if you ever need him, he's there for you day and night. Simple as that. Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, title sponsor of the wrap-up show. I've got homeowners, earthquake, and life insurance through Mark. He's an amazing insurance agent. He has saved me and my family thousands of dollars over the years. He could save you $750 just by switching your insurance to him. I had to file a claim in here back in 2022. The last time was a good year for the Padres, and he saved us so much time and money. We were out of our home for weeks. He took care of everything. I emailed him the other day. He emailed me back from the plane on his way to Hawaii. So he's got great service and communication. You can get free quotes online. Click the link in the description down below or call him. Get free quotes. Talk to him about the Padres. You can talk Mark off the ledge when you talk to him about your insurance. So he's an amazing insurance agent. He's a lifelong San Diegan. Lifelong Padres fan. If you have any insurance need, get in contact with Mark.
Yeah, all his information is below mnimitz at farmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
It's going to be an interesting next 30, 40 minutes here. So settle in. Appreciate the supers. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Thank you for subscribing. We're pushing towards 6,400 subscribers, despite the fact that the Padres have lost four straight. If you wouldn't mind subscribing, if you're new to the channel, if you have not subscribed, we really do appreciate it. So please subscribe. Let's get back to some of these supers. JD Gaucho, thank you for the super. He says, next up is AJ and Schilt saying 1-2-3 Cancun.
No, no, they're not. They believe they're going to win the World Series.
Right. I mean, listen.
Which is fine. I mean, I'd rather have them believe that than not.
Yeah, but when it ends, it ends. I mean, when the season ends. If they're not in the postseason, that's a very distinct possibility. If they are in the postseason, it's extremely unlikely, would be my guess.
And, you know, if anybody out there is like, hey, can we talk about the games? Like, these press conferences don't mean anything. Let me refer you back to 2021 when this team was playing great baseball and then they went through a giant collapse. And it's different because Tingler lost that clubhouse, like 100%. I don't think Schilt lost the clubhouse yet. I think maybe people not just give not yet. I just think that people just kind of eye roll personally. Some people in the organization, I just eye roll when they listen to Schilt. And if they continue to lose, you could get more of that. And then it could go downhill because this team has no mental toughness whatsoever. They haven't shown it at all. And the thing with 2021 is all we talked about was Tingler because of his post game press conferences and how he relayed this message to the media and the fan base of being a like delusional one. And all we heard from 2021 during that collapse is we're going to turn it around. We're going to turn it around. We're going to turn it around. Back a baseball card, back a baseball card. We have now heard from Schilty tonight. We are going to turn it around. I have zero worry. We are going to make the postseason. And he kind of alluded to, like, we're going to see the Phillies again, that type of thing, like, in the postseason.
He didn't say that, though, did he?
He didn't say it. He didn't say it exactly, but he kind of was like, yeah, we'll see them, like, we'll make the postseason, we'll see them. Like, you got to listen to it. Like, that's how I kind of viewed it, as he was kind of saying, we're going to make the postseason, and we'll see those guys down the line. We'll see them again, type of thing.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Well, I know tomorrow, but... And you know, Schilt is the perceived one of the leaders of this team because he's the manager, okay? And I just don't view him as a guy that is going to last very long if he keeps this stupid act up.
So is it more an act? Are you telling me if he was, because I'm asking the question because I don't know the answer. If he was by the book, great with the media, said all the right things. Let's say more Melvin-esque. I mean, I don't think
he was Melvin, basically.
Yeah, if he was by Melvin, would he keep his job if the team had the same record? If they go 80-82 and miss the postseason, is he losing his job because of how he dealt with the media, or is he losing his job because they went 80-82? And if he's losing his job either way, then he can do whatever the hell he wants with the media.
Here's the thing. Bob got fired, or not fired, but he got pushed out the door. He didn't get along with AJ. Schilt probably sucks up to AJ at any chance he can get and always agrees with him for the most part. I'm sure they have discussions where they don't agree. But Schilt will be the manager because they get along.
Yeah, but is that kind of foolish thinking, since AJ won't have his job if this team doesn't make the postseason? So it doesn't matter what AJ thinks of you if you miss the postseason.
Well, he's on a two-year deal.
He's not on a two-year
deal. Which is basically a one-year deal.
That's what I'm saying. So he's not it's over. There's no, if this team misses the postseason, this is the way I see it. This is the way you see it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, they're misguided in what they're doing, and that's putting it lightly. If they miss the postseason, they change the manager and the general manager, because you don't change a general manager and keep a manager. So if they miss the postseason, it doesn't matter what type of relationship he has with AJ Preller. He'll be looking for another job, because that's how professional sports in 99% of the occasions works. So I guess my point is this. They're both on this island. It's like Preller Schilty Island, like whatever the show, Love Island, Kristen was watching.
It's tonight. Sunshine and Rainbows. And
yeah. But so while they're on that island, it's fine. But unfortunately, I don't think that's reality. So if they make the postseason, all, like you said, sunshine and rainbows. If they don't, I think they're going to be out on that island, and that's where they're going to be, because it's going to be very hard to retain either or both if this team misses out. How would you justify it? I mean, what email are you writing to your season ticket holders? What thing are you putting on social media?
I mean, personally, I'm kind of already over Schilt. That's just me personally. And he has a ton to prove with everything. Okay. What he did in St. Louis is what he did in St. Louis. All right. This is a completely different situation. He has done nothing here. Nothing. Okay. Everyone wants to say Bob Melvin was shit. Well, the first year he was here, he proved that he's a winning guy. Okay. And right now,
breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Obviously, a lot could change, but what Mike Schilt's done here is nothing. He's proved nothing. Like, the fact that he's talking about, like, we've been here before and we're going to do it. Like, no, you haven't. Not with this team. Not with these guys. These guys are a bunch of, I mean, not a bunch of failures, but, like, as of right now, these guys are an average baseball team, a 500 team. They haven't proven anything. All right. There's a bunch of new players on this team. There's a bunch of new faces. The core remains the same. And for the last year and a half, they have underachieved and underperformed. Yet the manager of this particular team is right now overlooking all of that and deciding to turn it into Little League baseball and complimenting them on turning double plays and hustling and, like, they're professional athletes. They should be hustling. They should be turning the double plays. They should be playing good defense. They should not be getting thrown out. They should be running the bases good, right? They should be putting together good at bats. This is not like Little League YMCA baseball, Mike. These are the professionals. These are the big leagues.
None of that matters, though, because ultimately this team's record isn't really indicative of Mike Schilt's managerial job. Whether we like that or not. Now, again, the managers take falls. It's like quarterbacks have records, managers have records. Mm-hmm. So he'll be accountable for their overall record. But at the end of the day, like, no matter what he says about participation trophies and what he says about Manny Machado, they're 37 and 39 either way. Here's the other thing, because we're all like, oh my gosh, what the hell is this guy talking about? What world is he living in? The world he's living in is a world where if they win one game, they're like a playoff team. Nothing has been determined. The season is not over. They could lose the next two games. They could come home and struggle. It's June, and they're not in some amazing, this isn't 1999 where they're 20 games behind someone and the season's over. It's just not. So we may be upset with the way they're playing, and you might not like how there's six teams that make the postseason in each league, or you might not like Mike Schilt, but at the end of the day, nothing has changed over the last 4 days. You were frustrated and upset, and you don't like what Mike Schilt's saying. And guess what? They're a half game out of a playoff spot. It just is what it is. So, like we're not having some big obituary on the season. Like, that's a joke. I mean, they haven't even played half their games. Nothing's been determined. They might go in the tank, or they might play well, or they might be this team. Nobody knows. But, like, we're having some obituary on June 17th that is way too premature. Because,
well, there's no obituary. We're just sitting here talking about a manager who goes to a point of participation trophy. And I hate participation trophy talk. I hate it. It's like one of the things that I despise in professional sports is the participation trophy talk, because they're professionals. They're pro athletes, right? They're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do their job. And to hustle and put together good at bats. And, you know, if you're getting paid $30+ million a year, that's what, you know, you should be expected to be an all-star type of player. You mm-hmm. know, like, that's what gets me the most. I agree with Mike Schilt when he says he's not worried long-term, that he believes in this team. And because what is he supposed to say?
I don't know why he would say that. I wouldn't go that far. I'm just saying, I don't know what to believe. Like, I would be worried if I was him, because I think this is who they are.
But you know, as a manager, you can't go to the post game press conference after you lost four in a row on the road and be like, I don't think we're good.
Oh, because you agree with what he's saying, but you don't necessarily agree that they're good long term. I mean, we have no idea.
I don't agree.
This team's good enough.
Exactly. I don't agree. And I don't even know if they're going to be good long term, but I agree with that message from
what
Schilt,
else are you gonna say?
Because you have to say that. Where it all just goes off the rails for me is after that, in a 9-2 loss, you're pointing out shit that does not fucking matter. Like,
I mean, they got
relay plays and hustling and putting, like, what are we talking about here?
I mean,
Mike,
they allowed 18 hits tonight in 8 innings. Randy Vasquez experiment is a bad one. Johnny Brito has been solid, but this whole thing was a disaster today, right? I mean, you're down immediately. If not for this good defense, the Kim relay, if not for balls getting hit at people, I mean, this could have easily been 15 runs. I mean, we watched the entire game. They had 18 hits. So they could have easily scored 10, 15 runs in this game. I mean, this was non-competitive. If you watch it, which happens over 162, certainly it's going to happen. But 8 straight road losses can do nothing against left-handed pitching all season. Like, at some point, I just want to see results. What are they doing about those things? Why can't you hit left-handed pitching? What are you going to do to address? You got starting pitching concerns right now. Now, Darvish comes back. Maybe that changes it. Your bullpen's problematic because you've been using it so much in this road trip.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm more like the X's and O's, which we haven't even touched on, but we will, are way more concerning than what Mike Schilt is saying. That's where I say if he's playing 40 chess, credit to him. In actuality, what he's got going on right now is a team that's trailing 7-0, you know, in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
An offense that can't hit left-handed pitching, a team that cannot win on the road, a team that's 37 and 39, a team with an aging star in Manny Machado who's hurt. Xander Bogaerts, you get it. Like, the real things are the real problem, yet we're masking it away with, you know, these defensive clinics. Let's get to some of these supers. James, thank you. He says, I thought we got the manager who was dropping F-bombs in the clubhouse during the playoffs for the Cards. This version seems more like AJ's puppet. Yes, potentially. I don't know.
I think
I don't know
just,
who he was in St. Louis.
I think that this is just the style that he has chosen, Mike Schilt. I don't think this is like a handed down directive from AJ Preller to be positive all the time, no matter what. I think this is a 100% Schilty decision to be this way and to act like this and to be confrontational with anybody that questions his under 500 baseball team for not performing. I think this is a Schilt thing through and through. And just real quick back to Manny, because of how interesting it was that he just randomly out of the blue brought up Manny and the hustling thing. And then he was asked about it from Dennis later. And he kind of went down the path of like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people pick and choose their moments to hustle and everything. I would hope, and this is what a good manager would do. Okay. One, you can't be afraid of your star player. Because if you are, you're already lost. I hope that this was a situation either Saturday or Friday that Schilt talked to Manny and was like, look, I'm not going to bring this up in the media. I'm never going to do that. But that shit Friday night was fucking unacceptable. And
that's hilarious.
No, I know. I know. I'm just, I trust me. I know. But this is what a good manager would do, and a manager with respect, and a manager that's not going to let a player call the shots. I know he didn't, but I'm just saying, I would have hoped that was a type of conversation that hopefully would have been had. Probably not. But it is interesting how
the way you communicate with Manny, dude, the way you communicate with Manny is to let him he feels it from media lines of questioning, social media or fans. That's how he senses something's off. If he gets a line of question about why'd you swing first pitch, that's how he becomes aware of it. And that'll be confrontational over that. But the manager doesn't go to Manny Machado with a critique.
Well, then that's
and bullshit. If I'm wrong about that, I'd be shocked.
I know. And I probably would be too. But that's also like part of the reason why this franchise is kind of who they are.
Correct. Moises, thank you. He says, that's why all the articles pop up each year about a toxic culture. The entire organization lacks self-awareness top to bottom. Every year there's something different.
100%.
Every year there's something different. It's a fair point. Thank you, Moises, for the super chat. Apologize we're behind here on these supers, but thank you guys for hanging out. Please subscribe. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them. Great way to support the channel. Richard, thank you. He says, if the captain of the Titanic survived, I can only imagine his press conference would be similar to Schilt. The ship didn't sink right away. Yeah, I mean, again, the odds are it's not going to end well for Mike Schilt because most teams don't have a season end well at the end of the day. So I don't know how he's going to spin this thing when it ultimately comes to its demise. I don't know what he's going to say when the writing's on the wall.
Oh, he's not going to last long here. I don't envision it unless they have some miracle type of run in them. I just don't envision him. I don't envision him being a long-term manager here with the Padres. I really don't.
But the funny thing is they don't need a miracle run. That's what is, I think, I don't know if, like, they don't need anything. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need anything. They go 82-80, make the postseason. He's bought himself a one-year extension.
But if they went 82-80 and they went to the World Series, you don't consider that, like, a crazy, insane miracle type of run?
It's a miracle run, but he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
Well,
that's an unbelievable miracle run. I'm saying he doesn't need that. He's not losing his job for making the postseason. Like, does anyone actually think Mike Schilt would lose his job for making the postseason or AJ Preller? That's crazy. So,
let me ask you this. I agree with you, but do you think he would deserve to get back? Like, your opinion, John Schaefer, not what AJ Preller thinks.
Honestly, it would be hard to fire someone that makes the postseason. I don't like the postseason rules, but I mean, if I was Eric Kinsenda, and I'm aware of everything, bottom lines, media, clubhouse, all the dynamics, and I make it, I might not be thrilled with the dynamics in which I made it, but to make a change off making it would probably be hard for me to do. Deserving is a strong word. You're probably right. I mean, Mike Schilt didn't come up with the playoff rules.
If you're Eric Kinsenda, you're okay, John Schaefer. What would John Schaefer do?
If I was Eric Kinsenda.
But you're John Schaefer. You're not like actually Eric Kinsenda. Yeah. You're John Schaefer.
I'm in charge.
Yeah. What are you doing?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm not overly confrontational in work settings.
No, you're not.
So I would likely bring him back. If I wasn't bringing him back and I was like, Johnny Schaefer, tough guy, I have a vision for what I'm trying to accomplish, I would need to know who I could hire. Because this whole thing's been a train wreck, and now I'm hiring a fifth manager for Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado. I better get this thing right. So, like, I don't have a desire to do that just to do it. I'm telling you, everyone texting us right now and watching right now, if you don't think, I'm going to say this, mark this. I'll write it down. Okay? Mark this. If this team makes the postseason, the general manager and manager will be back unless their choice is not to be. End of sentence. There is no scenario, knowing everything we know about the Padres organization, where that is not accurate. Selling 3 million tickets, you're going to go rock the boat and change manager and general manager when you're a marketing success and you made the postseason. I don't see it. So, guys, they won 82 games last year. The GM is back and the manager. Melvin left. And you're telling me if they make the postseason next year, that heads will roll? Sorry, so, we may not like it, but it's the San Diego Padres. They're not the New York Yankees.
So they go 82-80, same record as last year, but they make
it. They might go worse than that.
I know. I'm just saying 82-80, same record as last year. They make it. They lose in two games in the wild card round. They're done.
Yeah.
Everybody's just 100% safe.
In my opinion, is everyone two people?
Yeah.
You're saying is AJ Preller safe and is Mike Shildt safe?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're giving them, you're giving Mike Shildt a contract extension after that because
I wouldn't give him a contract extension because, off of that, but
because
I,
they made
I
the postseason. They made the postseason not because they were a good baseball team, but because the rest of the National League sucks so bad that they had to put someone else in because they expanded to six wildcard teams.
Yeah, but that's not really their fault.
But would you consider them a good team just by the merit of they made the postseason?
No, not really.
Not a good team. Not a good team after a decade plus. Still good.
I think it will be good for them. Not just I think. Let me say it this way. I would be floored, shocked. It would be one of the most surprising things covering sports in San Diego.
You know
if
what
that
I would,
were to occur.
You know what I would do? I would give a standing ovation for finally having some balls as an organization to know that that standard is not good enough for the amount of resources that they have put and invested in this team. And that if they're going to have a bar that is so fucking low to be just content and happy with being a sixth seed in the National League when the National League this year is dog shit, I would applaud them if they made that move and not sit here and be like, I don't know, that's kind of crazy. They rocked the boat after making the postseason. I would be like, thank you. That standard is not acceptable.
But you also have to ask yourself, what is it worth whatever upheaval you're going to do to give Manny Machado, who's not going anywhere, he's a rock, like you can't move him. So you're going to give him his fifth manager in 7 years. The same thing with Fernando Tatis Jr. And I'm with you on the general manager part of this conversation. Someone else deserves an opportunity at this point. But I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's not that good of a job. It's not going to be seen as one. They're 15th in payroll right now. Presumably that's where they'll be in 2025. They're aging. It's an okay job. It's not going to be the best job available in baseball. Who knows who they could go get. Typically, general managers would ask for time. They would have some level of upheaval themselves. You wouldn't think 2025 would be their best year, their first year as a GM. They actually wouldn't even prefer it to be that way. Typically, look what's going on in New York with the Mets. Okay, look what's going on in Miami with the first year GM. You buy yourself time when you're a first year GM, especially with this organization when they keep guys for 10 plus years. So I'm just saying that when you do that, I'm not saying there's not a better GM than AJ Preller. There is. And I'm not saying there's not a better manager than Mike Shildt. There is. But there's no guarantee you have more success, certainly in the short term, if you make changes.
there's also no guarantee that you have better success.
Correct.
With AJ still as a general manager and Mike Shildes as your manager.
Yeah, that's the risk reward. You got to take a look at a whiteboard and say, what makes the most sense? What do we think we have a better chance to win with?
So the track record and the data you have is AJ Preller failure as a general manager for 10 plus years. Mike Shildes. Okay. Like, or you take in a new general manager, new head manager that you don't know what you're going to get, but at least you're not going with the guy that has a track record of basically failure.
Here's my move. Hear me out. If I'm going to make a move and I'm Johnny Tough Guy, not Johnny Soft, and I want to get, and now if they miss the postseason, of course they're making a change. That's where I'm so steadfast in this. It's black and white.
I would hope
they miss, they change. If they don't, they don't. But if you want to make a move off an 80 and 82 season where you get in, we're theorizing 82 and 80. But
John, you know how many teams, you know how many teams in the history of professional sports have fired their general manager and manager or coach and GM after making the postseason?
You're talking about like NBA teams with eight teams in the postseason. You're not talking about the San Diego Padres. Milwaukee Bucks did off a 55-win season.
I said professional sports, baseball, anything. Anything. Sure. Any sport.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I cover sports for my life. Yeah. Yes.
So
do you know how many teams would have made a change off a team that missed the postseason that was supposed to make the World Series last year, Jim?
They did.
No, they didn't.
They pushed Bob Melvin out the door and they got a new manager.
What? But that they didn't do anything. Bob Melvin left. If he didn't have the Giants opportunity, he'd still be here. You and I both know it.
Because
Seidler's wishes were for him to be here.
Yeah, the organization chose the GM over the coach or the head of the manager. Sorry.
But you're not proving your point. I don't care what the New York Yankees would do. The Padres just had their most disappointing, your own words, season in franchise history.
But I'm telling you, it's not unprecedented.
Of course, it's not unprecedented, but it is with the Padres.
I'm talking about, you think it's like never, it would never happen in this situation.
Because I'm using my experience with the San Diego Padres organization as the baseline. I don't care what's going on in Boston.
And I'm just telling you that in sports, in baseball, this is not something that is a crazy thought to think about. To get rid of a general manager, and I get to the Padres. I understand what you're saying, John. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that, like, to have this conversation, or if you have that opinion that if they make the postseason and they're 82-80, or 80-82, or 81-81, and they get bounced in the first round in two games, it's not a crazy thought. To be like, yo, they need to move on from this because that's not acceptable.
Your opinion can be they need to move on. I'm giving you my opinion on what I think they're going to do.
Okay, well, I'm asking for your opinion.
Well, that's fine, and that's like a little bit of like a fake.
We both know what they're going to do if they make the postseason.
That's what I'm saying. So am I right or am I right?
Well, I'm asking for your opinion, John. I'm not asking for what you think they're going to do. Like, I'm asking for your opinion.
My opinion is if I can go get Kim Ng and Skip Schumacher, I would do it.
Yes, that's exactly it. I'm not asking or talking about trying to get in the mind of Cassenda and Grubner.
Well, we're changing the conversation though, because I'm telling you what I think they're going to do. That's my opinion of what I think they're going to do.
And I'm telling you what I think they should do.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We are so far ahead
because
you're trying to draw to an inside straight. What are the odds? Just hear me out for 1 second. We have to get to these supers.
I know.
What are the odds they actually go 82-80 and then lose two consecutive games to the Atlanta Braves? That exact scenario playing out. That's 48?
It's a better chance than them going 82-80 and making the World Series.
No, but I'm saying they might go 83-79 or 79-83. Or like, it's going to tell. The writing will be, it'll be told to us. We'll have more answers once we see what happens. As in, the odds of your exact hypothetical playing out are low. Them going exactly 82-80 and exactly losing in two games in the postseason. I'm saying it's possible, but it may not happen. They might go 75-87.
No, I know that.
They might go 87-75.
I'm using from like 80 to 83 wins.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I'm just using 82-80 as like an example because they went 82-80 last year. That's fair. From like 80 wins to 83 wins, those whatever, there's a
that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Oh, we'll get back to the Supers in a moment. Guys, Movaglobes. We've been telling you about them. Boom. You say the word Movaglobes, and Jim grabs a Movaglobe. And I have one, too. Let's just show them to you. These things are unbelievable, officially licensed. This company was founded in San Diego, this technology. There's magnets in this thing. And with light, they spin. Don't ask us how. We don't know how. There's no cords. There's no batteries. There's nothing. It's an amazing keepsake. They're officially licensed. You can click the link in the description down below. How about this? Use promo code PWS10, PWS10. It's in the description down below. You're going to get 10% off. It's just a great piece for your desk, your home office. My wife thinks it's phenomenal. My five-year-old son, Jones, thinks it's terrific. They have more than just baseball globes. They have globes like of the world, of different planets. It's a phenomenal company. I'm telling you, when this thing arrived, I was mesmerized by it. I've got it on the desk right here, actually on the kitchen table. Powered by light, rotating globes, founded in San Diego, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
All major league teams. Maybe your brother-in-law's a Boston Red Sox fan. Surprise him for his birthday.
Yeah.
Really cool company. Doing really cool stuff.
Oh, is that it? Really cool stuff? We have...
What's the Ford ad from
technology and stuff. I was like, are you going to keep going or is that it?
I thought you were going to chime in.
Well, I am going to chime in right now because we have less than 24 hours remaining on our Movaglobe giveaway right now. Go to our Instagram page at John and Jim. If you are not following us, what are you doing? Go follow. There's over 350 people in here. I don't think all 350 people are following us. And if you are, that's amazing. But if you aren't, go right now at John and Jim on Instagram. One of our most recent posts, it tells you how to enter to win a Movaglobe Padres edition that will be given away tomorrow night on the wrap-up show. You you have to tag a fellow Padres fan in the comments. There's no limits on the comments. You got to be following at John and Jim and at Movaglobes. Again, we're going to be announcing the winner tomorrow. So make sure to go to our Instagram page right now and all the details are there.
10% off. Click the link in the description down below. Grab one for yourself, your loved ones, a baseball fan in your life. Click that link in the description down below. Use the promo code PWS10 and get 10% off. All right. Supers that we're way behind on this bizarre road trip, this disastrous road trip. Talent, thank you. Says, is it possible Jim Harbaugh can coach the Padres and the C-Words? No, although it's not the worst idea in the world, truthfully. So thank you for the super. Paul, thank you for the generous super. He says, this reminds me of when Mack Brown was head coach of Texas, and after every loss, he would trot out some stat that the Longhorns were best at, eventually cost him his job.
Dude, oh, speaking of stat.
He also won a national championship at Texas.
Yeah, he's a winner. Schulte brought up this stat about, like, getting hits and, like, the, like, last four innings of the game, something that Kevin Acey put in his article, and he's like, yeah, Ace, or it's like, yeah, Kevin,
you know, we do hit 309 in the,
he's like, it was weird tonight, wait, didn't have any hits in the final four innings, but usually we do because of that great amazing stat that you put in your article one day. I'm like, you mean the fakest stat on the planet that, like, doesn't mean jack shit?
Yeah, again, I would just say this real quick to Paul there, like, there's a difference in Texas Longhorns. Again, I keep saying this. I'm not trying to offend the organization, but there's a difference in Texas Longhorns football and San Diego Padres baseball until the Padres show us that they can be a proven winner.
I don't think you're offending them, John, by saying that they're not
Padres fans. I'm not trying to offend Padres fans. But like what I'm like when I talk to you, Jim, and you ask me like, why do I think they're coming back? Because they're not the Boston Red Sox. You know what I mean? If they were the Boston Red Sox, it's a completely different conversation, but they're not. And I think Padres fans do get that, but it's not to offend. It's Boston's got three titles in the last 20 years and the Padres have none ever. Yankees, yeah, you get it. Talon, thank you again. He says, why so mad? It's just baseball. Manny Machado. Did he say that tonight? It wouldn't shock me. Were there any quotes from players in Kevin's post-game article? I didn't read it.
Let's look here.
I'll have to take a look. There usually are. He usually sneaks in a player quote or two in his post-game article.
The first thing is, for me, it's a team first. To finally reach a point where I'm doing a lot to help the team every day is rewarding. Huh?
I think that was before the game.
No, that was 6 hours ago, John. 3:50. Oh, that was before the game.
Yes, before the game.
So what the fuck, man?
It's at the UT's website, dude.
Oh, really?
He might not have tweeted about it. Here we go. Here's a quote from Manny Machado.
Oh, great.
It's been tough. Tough stretch here. So kind of close to what Talon said.
Close.
Here's a quote from Mike Schilt. This league is based on pitching. We have a good offense, and I like our offensive approach. But if you don't have consistent starting pitching, you're going to have a hard time being a consistent club that's going to shake hands after games because it compromises your bullpen and you get down. And it's a tough league to be down consistently.
He's right.
Okay. Sounds like John Schaefer. Looking for quotes.
It's 100%.
We've shown the ability to come back. This is Jake Cronenworth. Can't do it every night. That's what I said. We were there. Then they come and score three, and then they blow it open. It's tough to win when you have eight hits and they have 18. That's kind of calling out your pitchers. I like it. He went on to say, it just seems that every sixth thing is when we score, Cronenworth said. I don't know why that is. Maybe saying sixth inning. This is sixth thing. score those runs early and give our pitchers a little bit of breathing room to go out there and do what they do and something we can get better at. Who the hell knows? They have no answers.
I find it amazing that it feels like they're telling everybody to give them the benefit of the doubt. Trust us. We'll be fine. We've done it. We can do it. We like, A, no, you haven't. And B, you haven't shown it. And C, no one trusts you. So to like hear the message from the team as of like, trust us. Why should anybody trust you to turn it around? You're going to have to show everybody and not tell everybody about this. You know, like prove it with your actions. Go out there and win at a consistent rate. Don't fuck up against lefties. Go out there and play good against bad teams. Don't get swept constantly. If you do that, then maybe people will start trusting you more and believing the words that you're saying. But right now, the words of trust us, we're going to turn this thing around. We're this type of team. We're a good team. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Did we mention this before? Thank you, Keith, that Mike Schilt sounds like Brandon Staley. Is that a reasonable comp with Staley?
Yes, going I called him Brandon Staley early in the year during the infamous press conference where he like went on for 13 straight minutes and it was all played on Padres TV, which is amazing to me. And
they lost the Rockies at home?
I forget when that was, but it was easily still the most embarrassing press conference that I've ever watched or witnessed from a Padres manager since I've been covering this team for over a decade. Brandon Staley is a tryhard. Brandon Staley came off as a guy that
didn't go this far, though. He didn't go that far.
He didn't go this far, but he got very confrontational with the media a lot of times.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that Brandon Staley happened to have happened to him that has not happened to Mike Schilt yet is completely lose that locker room. Completely. Now, I'm not saying Schilt's lost his clubhouse. I don't think he even has close to lost his clubhouse. But we know the dynamics in there and how it plays out. When this team loses, it becomes very weird in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to turn it around. Patman 0074, thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, subscribe. If you're here, thank you for the super chats. We appreciate you. He says, my question, why won't the media ask these questions? They do. This isn't a media problem.
No.
Like, yeah, okay, there's more media members in New York. Sure. But like I've watched Kevin ask questions that are reasonable questions that Mike gets upset with, Mike Schilt. I've seen the same thing with AJ Cassavell and Dennis Lynn, all of those in the first half of the season. Look, they've asked reasonable, fair, critical questions at times, maybe not every single game. It's also their job to interact with the media or the manager every day. They can't ask absurd, you know, they can't be critical every single day with their line of questioning. They got to pick their spots. So I think the media is asking questions, and I don't think really it has anything to do with the media. I think the media could ask all the right questions. I don't think you're going to get what you want out of Mike Schilt, unfortunately. He follows up by saying, guarantee New York or Philly journalists don't let this slide. What slide?
What?
You know what I mean? We don't let it slide. I mean, what? Let's say if I was covering the Padres and I was in the clubhouse and in these press conferences post game, what am I supposed to say? Am I going to say, Mike, I'm not going to let you get away with this? That's not my job.
No, like if, I don't know, here, a question, like if you're Mike, what, like, again, you ask him, like, why are you so confident in this team? He's going to go on a 4-minute rant about how great they are. You know, like, you know what you're going to get. A lot of times, questions that are thought of, like, you don't just, I'm sure you asked Marty, because Marty has some great questions. Like, she'll tell you, sometimes I just don't ask the question because I know I'm going to get the answer. But also, sometimes I do ask the question because I know, or at least hope I get that answer, because that's kind of what people are wanting to know about, type of thing.
Yeah, Marty has a ton. Marty's a great example. She has a lot of hard questions.
Like, what, honestly, like, what question would you ask? I don't think it's a good thing, good idea to go in there as a media member and try to ask gotcha questions. You know, I thought the question.
I mean, should someone have asked about Manny on Friday? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I thought Dennis's question, and he probably wasn't in New York because I didn't hear him, but
I don't think he has been.
The question from Dennis this afternoon, or earlier tonight, about Manny to Schilt, was a question that I thought should have been asked on Friday, at least pertaining to, like, the lack of hustle on Friday night. And Dennis formed it perfectly. Like, after Schilt went on this rant about Manny, just unprovoked, the question was, so basically what are you saying you expect this type of effort and hustle from Manny every single night then? And then Schilt kind of backtracked and was like, well, probably not every night, not every play, because, you know, not every player in baseball hustles and does this 100% of the time. They pick and choose their moments.
I need to hear that.
Oh, you'll hear it tomorrow.
I can just watch it on television. Okay, let me get back to the Supers here in a moment. We do want to thank our partners here on the Wrap-Up Show, our friends at Finley, really cool company we've been telling you about here recently. If you want to invest with Finley, now is your opportunity. So let me tell you a little bit more about them, because here's the deal. Local San Diego startup, right? Huge Padres fan, San Diego through and through. We've been telling you that. In addition to that, here's the quickest way to explain the company. They allow fans to participate in the future earnings of real athletes. They've got their first athlete right now. His name is Ashedri Vargas, one of the top prospects in the Rangers organization, had a 2-homer game within the last couple of days. You can support a rising prospect and get paid a piece of his future major league earnings. He signed for $10,000. They're raising capital that will allow him to focus on baseball all year round. So here's the thing. Fernando Tatis Jr. did a deal like this with Big League Advance and gave up future earnings for guaranteed money when he was in the minor leagues. He gave up tens of millions of dollars. Imagine if you could have invested in Fernando Tatis Jr. No one's saying Ashedri Vargas is Fernando Tatis Jr., but the way it works is you could invest as little as $96, and should he reach the big leagues and have success, you could turn that into a return of hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And the more you invest, the more you could potentially have in terms of a return, from thousands to tens of thousands of dollars, depending on how Vargas turns out. So if you're looking for more information about how to invest, about Ashedri Vargas, about Finley, then click the link in the description down below, because it's going on right now. It's their first athlete. You can invest in him right now by clicking the link in the description down below.
Yeah, we're glad they're on board. The link in the description below to check out their website. Mark Grant, by the way, advisor of Finley. Their office is right across the street from Petco Park. Ashedri Vargas, Keith Law is very high on Ashedri Vargas. So if you have any questions or want to learn more about what they're doing, click the link below. Takes you to their website, and we're glad that Finley's on board for the Wrap-Up Show.
No doubt. Again, click that link in the description down below. Back to the Supers. Thanks, guys. Victor, appreciate you. He says Dodgers may fire Roberts even if they reach the playoffs. No doubt. Agreed. Probably makes sense. At some point, you got to win a World Series in a real year, and they have Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, makes sense to me completely. So thank you for the Super Chat. JD's third thank you. He says, Cuspenda can't afford to fire AJ. He will be here through 2026, even when we miss the playoffs the next few seasons. Can't afford $4 million. You think money plays any role with him being under contract for not just next year, but the year after as well?
No.
Neither do I. They got a lot of bad money on the books.
They're not going to fire
$4 million.
I mean, honestly, though, I think they were kind of happy that they didn't have to pay Melvin all that money. And they happily, they opened the door for him, packed his bags, called the Uber for him, and, you know, book the flight to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's exactly That's exactly what they did with Bob Melvin.
I still don't know. I mean, it's a conversation we'll never know the answer to. If the Giants didn't fire Gabe Kapler, what would Melvin have done?
You know what I was just thinking about? Like, how wise was it to, after last year and the disappointment that it was and the turmoil and just everything that happened with last year? Mm-hmm. I mean, how smart was it to hire somebody as your, as the team's manager who was a part of that team last year? Probably not that smart.
I mean, kind of not that much of a part of the team, right? I mean, he was in uniform very rarely a year ago, right?
What I meant was part of the team and the organization. Like, he was always talking to Peter. He was always talking with AJ. Mm-hmm. He was in that dugout for a good amount of time. You know, I'm sure that he spent time in that clubhouse. Like, he wasn't just like a stranger to that clubhouse or team. He was in uniform.
That makes it bad, just guilty by association.
Well, I mean, he was a part of it. Like, he was a part of last year's failure.
I mean, so was AJ Preller. You have to remember the person from the hiring position.
I'm just specifically talking about that clubhouse and dugout, John.
But I don't think. I'm not sure where you're going with it. You're saying the clubhouse wouldn't have wanted it?
No. What I'm saying is, how smart is it, do you think, to just have somebody that was a part of that last year? Because what they did with Tingler is they went completely outside. Like, now they probably got lucky from a standpoint of, like, Melvin wanted to come here. You know, like, I don't think Preller thought of it. I think Melvin picked up the phone and is like, hey, I want to come. And they're like, oh, shit. But from that standpoint, is they got someone completely away from the organization, away from the toxicity, away from the turmoil, and they brought someone in here that had no preconceived views or, like, you know, understanding of what went on here. And look what happened in year one. They made the NLCS. Now it fizzled and it just completely crumbled because, like, even year one, Melvin's like, I can't deal with this fucking guy.
Wasn't Schilt, though, the third base coach on that team? Because didn't Matt Williams have hip surgery in 2022? Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe.
Yeah, BC was with, he was with Melvin year one. His first year in San Diego was 2022. Schilt.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, still, I mean, I'm just saying, like, yeah, he was new here then. And everything worked out good, but then he endured and went through all the bullshit, and they still kept him.
They kept Schilt, you're saying?
Yeah.
That's because I don't think Schilt was accountable for any of the on-field issues a year ago. I don't even, we'd have to look that up. I mean, how often was Schilt even in uniform last year? Wasn't he a consultant and player development guy? He wasn't their third base coach.
I'm just saying he's a part of the organization. He was a part of your
what options did they have? What options did they have? We heard the managerial candidates. They weren't exactly enthralling.
It was between Schilt and Benji Gill.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
So let me ask you this, Jim Russell. Their record if Benji Gill was managing the team would be? Exactly. Nobody knows.
I mean, no one knows. I'll just say, for argument purposes, they would be a team that's much better with Benji Gill. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure they'd be 50-15 right now.
Right.
JD's third thank you. He says, Mike, shit to Schwarber, uncle, yikes.
He did say that.
Did he?
They asked him about Schwarber, and he goes, uncle.
Dude, that's after game one of a series. I mean, they're 0-4 against the Phillies. I mean, that's...
He's like, huh. I mean, can he stop hitting home runs against teams that I'm managing? Like, huh. Uncle.
Dude. All right, guys. Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. We've been telling you all about them.
Phil Nevin.
Maybe you can help. What's that?
Phil Nevin was also another candidate. Remember?
And? Sorry.
Never mind.
No, I get them. I'm just saying, I don't know if... I'm not critical of Mike Schilt the way he's managed. I'm just critical
could
of
you
Mike
imagine,
Schilt the way he's spoken.
Could you imagine Phil Nevin, like, just...
It would be different.
It'd be different.
I don't know if it would be better, but it would be different. Guys, you know about Underdog Fantasy. You can play Pick'ems for tomorrow's action right now. Use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You'll get a 50% deposit match, up to $250 in bonus cash, plus a free special pick. You can play right now. I mean, they need obviously a really good outing for Michael King. The bullpen is completely taxed. So, for example, they don't even have a length of outing, but let's see what pays for King. What pays is if he allows a run in the first inning. Let's do it. The reverse jinx. He allows a run in the first inning. Aaron Nola. Let's do the reverse jinx here. Let's say he allows a first inning run too. How about that? If that happens, if both teams score in the first inning, $10 pays 90. Boom. And if you throw in a Bryce Harper home run, $10 pays 405 tomorrow. What do you got?
No, I like it, John. I like it. Do everything against the Padres.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do here. Just seeing if there's any. And let's say Schwarber homer. Look, it's only 1.5 times because they know he's going to homer tomorrow. So look at that, guys. If you get the multiple home runs, if you get a home run from Harper, a home run from Schwarber, $10 pays $1,000.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
It pays $1,000. You get the free special pick. You get the $250 in bonus cash with a 50% deposit match. Use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Scan the QR code or click the link in the description down below. Best and easiest place to win, Jim, is Underdog Fantasy.
Yeah, QR code above my head right here. Scan it. Download the Underdog Fantasy app right now. Use promo code PODSWRAP when you sign up. Go win some real money, guys. It's fun. It's easy to play, and if you have not signed up, use our promo code PODSWRAP when you do. Again, QR code above my head. Download the Underdog Fantasy app right now.
I mean, where does it go from here, Jim? I mean, in the short term, it's the Phillies. It's not exactly encouraging. Well,
in the short term, you got to win a freaking baseball game. Like, right. I know we talked about it on John and Jim today. I would honestly be fine right now with just winning one of the next two. Because you're facing,
well, at this point, you kind of have to.
You have to. But even going into the series, you're thinking to yourself, with who they're facing, it felt kind of like tonight was the night you needed to win because you're facing Nola and Ranger Suarez on Wednesday. And then you're like, oh, we're staring on the barrel of an 0-6 road trip coming home to play the first place Brewers for a 4-game series here at Petco Park. Right. And then after that, it don't get much easier when you look at their schedule, John, because they have, I think, 23 or 24 games remaining until the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And you have like the Braves in there. You're going to Boston. What else? They play the Nationals, who are hot right now. Who are, I think, ahead of you in the standings, if I'm not mistaken. So the Washington Nationals,
like half game.
Nationals like, shit, we're playing a team. We're expected to win these games because we're playing a team that's below us.
Right.
You go on the road to Boston, Texas, Arizona. You play Seattle, Atlanta, and then the All-Star break. I mean, mm-hmm. You trip up here. I know that in the long run, you could spin it as we're fine, but it's not a good look if you go to the All-Star break and you're 6 games under 500.
I agree with that.
It's not great. If that's
no, I mean, if they get, there'll be a point where it doesn't matter how bad the National League is if they're just bad. I mean, to your point, they can't fall 8-10 under. I mean, at some point, you're asking for serious trouble. I don't think that's today. Mm-hmm. At 2 games under, I don't know if it would be off an 0-6 trip. I mean, an 0-6 trip is not going to be the easiest thing in the world to just recover from. And by the way, when they go to the All-Star break, they have a home game July 14th. Then they're off for 4 days for the All-Star break. Then they play 9 straight on the road with multiple off days.
And look who they play.
It's Cleveland on the road, tough. It's the Nationals on the road, potentially tough. And it's the Orioles.
Yep.
And then when you come home, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah, so good fucking luck.
Yeah, so this is a fair point that you have to be able to stay to within like 3 games of 500. But at the end of all that craziness, if you're 7 under, again, I don't care how bad the National League is. You're probably not a good team. If you're 7 games under 500 coming out of July, A, I don't know how you bet on that team if you're AJ Preller. I don't know what choice he has. And then B, I don't know how you could consider this to be a team that's vying for a postseason spot, even if the National League's bad.
Yeah, how do you honestly go to whoever you go to run these trades by and moves by? And if you're 6 or 7 games under at the trade deadline, or just let's just say they're the same spot, they're 2 or 3 games under 500. And you're like, hey, we need to trade the farm for Garrett right. Crochet.
Right.
I don't know about that one, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I we talked to Grant Paulson today of MLB Network Radio, and he mentioned, he's like, look, what's the vibe there as far as selling for Preller? And we said, absolutely not. No. He doesn't have that in his vocabulary. But if you get to the trade deadline, like probably another GM might be looking at trading a guy like Ha-Seong Kim or trading, you know, whoever else, right?
Yeah, I got an interesting note today actually from someone I know in baseball that I didn't even mention to you.
Oh, nice.
I can't really because I forgot about it, but that's interesting. That doesn't necessarily scream that they're automatically buyers. Put it that way. And I think that's fair because the truth is a good organization should not know its path until a path is determined by its team.
Right.
As in, you don't chase something. It's like you don't throw money at bad money. You see the hand you're dealt and you act accordingly. If it's July 29th and you're 8 under, don't be stupid. If it's July 29th and you're 1 over and you're a game out, okay. But don't go chase something. As in, if I'm a Padres scouting department, I'm looking at both lenses right now. I'm sending scouts out to look at guys I can acquire, and I'm sending scouts out to look at guys that I could be selling off to get pieces back. That's what a good organization, and that's what they are probably doing, even though we are like, they're buying. They can't determine that. The team will determine if they're buying. Mm-hmm. AJ Preller can't determine if he's buying, even though last year he tried to. He should have sold.
Right. Then the conversation becomes like, do you even allow a guy who is theoretically on a hot seat who might not even be here next year dangle these top prospects out?
That's a great point.
You know? Hey, buddy, I don't know if you've watched tonight, but clearly you're not speaking about me and John, right?
He's saying there's no way. I don't
clearly.
Think.
You might be speaking about other people, but not us. And by the way, we don't go to these Schilt press conferences because, we have radio jobs that happen during these times, and we have families, and you know, it's not our job. The only way we'd be going to Petco Park would be like on our own accord to go into a press conference room. Majority of people in there are doing it because it's their actual jobs. And yes, we're part of the media, but at the same time, we don't have credentials. I mean, get one.
He's saying his report. He says, I don't buy this either, Kermit. If they criticize the Padres in any way, they will find themselves in the unemployment lines as reporters. I don't think he's talking about us. But that doesn't work like that. I mean, there's a USBWAA or whatever, right? Baseball Writers Association of America. They're not accountable to organizations. They're accountable to themselves. Like, you don't lose a job because you criticize the St. Louis Cardinals and you cover the Cardinals. It doesn't work like that.
No. The only control they have is like, the people that don't fall into their category of Baseball Writers of America or a publication or newspaper or Athletic or whatever the case may be, right? The print media, they can't be like, hey, you can't come in here type of thing. So I don't think anybody's afraid. Yeah. No one's afraid. No, Dennis's not sitting there like, oh, I'm so scared to ask a question. Like, give me a break.
I agree. Real quick, guys, it's been a long show and an interesting night. We do want to thank our friends over at Ora, ORA.organic. If you want to get healthier, check them out. Click the link in the description down below. I've told you about their probiotic for years. It's an amazing product for digestion and heart health and mental clarity and more. Pre-workout supplements, proteins for after workouts, omega-3 oils. If you're taking a fish oil, you can get the same health benefits from Ora. They're all plant-based supplements. They have sleep pills, immunity pills, and more. Check them out. Their co-founder, Will, is a San Diegan. lifelong Padres fan. They have offices right here in San Diego. Longtime supporters of the channel. If you want to get healthier, click that link in the description down below or go to ora.organic.
Yeah, if you want to live a healthy lifestyle, Aura is the place for you, www.ora.organic. Pick up some supplements from Aura. They're great. They're all organic, plant-based, best on the market. Go there right now. Aura will help you achieve that healthy lifestyle that you are craving. Again, pick up some supplements from there, and you will thank us later.
All right, guys, that'll do it for tonight. What does tomorrow have in store? All right, join us 3 p.m., John and Jim, on San Diego Sports 760 or our YouTube channel or the free iHeartRadio app. Then tomorrow night on the wrap-up show, we're 47 subs away from 6,400. If you're here live or on replay, please subscribe. We'd love to get to 6,400 with your help. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. Thank you to all of our partners on the wrap-up show, including our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, at Farmers Insurance. For Jim, I'm John. Padres losing Philly 9-2. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of the wrap-up show.
Win a baseball game.
Yeah.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.